Everyone needs a pastor. A visit to the Pastor's Study brings biblically faithful pastoral ministry to you and pastoral ministry from those with proven experience in Christian service. Our time together will be lively, sometimes controversial, always useful, and never dull. Welcome to the study of Pastor Bill Shishko.
Pastor Bill Shishko here with you. It's great to have you with us for today's A Visit to the Pastor's Study. Something there is that doesn't love a wall, penned Robert Frost in his truly American poem, Mending Wall. But later in the same poem, he suggestively reflects, before I built a wall, I'd ask to know what I was walling in or walling out and to whom I was like to give offense. Something there is that doesn't love a wall that wants it down. Well, that so aptly describes the challenge of the church to get beyond the walls of its building or meeting place. How do we fight off the all-too-powerful tendency to let local churches become what's been called the evangelical ghetto? Well, we need to begin by really being honest about the things that make us become, quite frankly, ingrown churches. Often the cause is fear. Fear of not knowing what to do beyond the church walls. Fear because we don't know where to start. Fear of what will happen. Fear of the challenges we'll run up against. Fear of the unknown. And fear paralyzes us. We do nothing. Sometimes, and again being very honest, we're proud. We really don't want to engage with those who are different than we are because we really deep down inside feel and think that we're better, and we can become very self-righteous as we look down on others. Now, that spirit demands one thing, heart repentance. Have you forgotten where you would be if it were not for the grace of God rescuing you from your sin and from yourself? Now, in many cases, just that we become too busy with other things. We do our church duties on Sunday and perhaps once or twice on other days, but we've got other commitments during the week, our work, our families, our homes, often acting before those around us as if we are, frankly, no different than those who are not even Christians. In our busyness, we lose sight of the fact that we are to be witnesses for Christ and intentionally witnesses for Christ in everything that we do. And if we're willing to dig even more deeply, we realize that we waste so much of our time on entertainments and hobbies and the idolatry of sports rather than invest our time in things that can further the kingdom of God and have a genuine impact for eternity. And again, very frankly, we can all be satisfied with words. We know the responsibility we have to show Christ and to speak of him everywhere. We even say we need to do that, but we don't. Now the words of the Apostle John rebuke us, little children, and we really can be children of God and fall into this trap. Let us not love in word or talk, but in deed and in truth. In other words, don't just talk the talk. In fact, John seems to be saying to skip the words entirely, just walk the walk. And we could even make the case that the walls of a church meeting place can hinder us in our duty to be out there as social creatures being blessings to those around us. We're comfortable in our spiritual duties in church, but somehow we think that everything outside the church walls is less than spiritual or worse, even unspiritual. And how probing it is to our souls to be reminded that faith within church walls that does not show itself in work outside the church walls, all the time and everywhere, is simply dead faith. And so says the Apostle James in no uncertain terms. Now, why get beyond the church walls? Well, the mandate of the Great Commission, which was originally given to a group of worshiping disciples, is go and make disciples of all nations. And that begins in our homes, our neighborhoods, our workplaces, not only to foreign fields. Your sphere of influence is your mission field. The Christian life is described as salt and light and yeast, and none of these things do their jobs if they're not out there in the food, the darkness, and the dough, if you will, of human society. There's the command to love our neighbors as ourselves. Love always gives itself for the good of others, and there is no limit to who those others are. We're to do good to all people, but especially to those of the household of faith. So salesgirls in department stores, checkers in supermarkets, your postman, your postwoman, the single person or the family that lives right next to you, do you see your obligation and your privilege to serve them just as your Savior serves you? And then there's the privilege, and it is a privilege, of being a blessing of God to all those around us. Now, I don't think we consider that as much as we should. I am meant to be a conduit of God's goodness and grace to everyone around me. And what a blessing that is to me. I mean, it is, never forget, more blessed to give than to receive. But how do we get beyond our various church walls and really begin ministering in and to the communities in which God has put us? Well, that's the topic of today's edition of A Visit to the Pastor's Study. And we want you to join in the visit, even as you come to a pastor's study. And you do it in this way, by calling us with your questions, your comments, your arguments, if you want, your thoughts. How, practically speaking, do you get beyond your church walls, whatever they are? So to visit with us, here's the number, 631-955-5400. That's 631-955-5400. But before we get to your calls, let's have our weekly discussion among pastors. My guest again today is Pastor Mike Plugman, pastor of the Orthodox Presbyterian Church in Bohemia, New York. Bohemia, if you've not visited it, you should. It's a quaint little hamlet of about 11,000 people, just some 30 miles east of New York City, right here on Long Island. And it is an ideal place for community ministry. Pastor Mike, thanks for visiting the Pastor's Study again today. Talk to us about your ministry beyond the church walls in Bohemia, New York.
Well, Bill, it started off very early on when I got to Bohemia. You may remember that at that time when we started the church in Bohemia, when we bought the property, there was a family in our congregation who had a young boy who suffered with leukemia and later passed away. And our church is located right next door to the community cemetery. It's the oldest cemetery in the community. And the family really wanted their son to be buried right next to the church. So I did some research. The place seemed all but abandoned. But I found out there were still graves for sale. And we actually were able to buy a whole family lot to be used by the church for other people as needs arose, and we buried this little boy there. But that made us part owner of that cemetery. We became members of that cemetery association that together runs the cemetery. And some elderly ladies in the community called for a meeting. They were like in a panic because the cemetery was so run down and really nobody was looking after it anymore. They called for a meeting in our library, and I went to it, and there they laid the need out that the cemetery was run down, nobody was looking after it, and they really needed some volunteers to form a board to once again care for the cemetery. And here I am living right next door. So I ended up on the board of that cemetery, and I basically have been the person in charge, because I live right next door and I'm just trying to be a good neighbor. You know, a verse of scripture came to mind that we are his workmanship, the Lord's workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God has before ordained that we might walk in them. And I just could not help to see this as a providential situation that I was called to. Much later, somebody that came and went in the life of our church rather quickly, but had a heart for people, he challenged me to start a food pantry in our congregation. And he gave me some pointers as to how to do that, distribute flyers in the community to collect food, and then open your doors. We do it on Wednesday nights from 7 till 9. To needy folks. We put a sign out front letting people know that we had a pantry there, and people have been coming. We've supported about 15 or so, more families than that, but on average 12 to 15 come every week, and others come more sporadically. But it's been great to meet people, not only to provide them with much-needed food, but also we provide literature. And, you know, again, I'm reminded of a verse of Scripture, "Has not God chosen the poor of this world rich in faith?" Because the vast majority of them are people of faith and look to the Lord. And we can have a real ministry with them. I don't know if this is the time. I don't want to keep talking. You interrupt me when it's time. But to put in a real need that we have out there, and that is we get many Spanish-speaking folks coming through our pantry, and I am not a Spanish speaker. A deacon in our congregation knows a little bit of Spanish, and he's usually on hand to help out, but it's very limited. So we really could use a fluent Spanish speaker to join us on Wednesday night.
Tell them where you are in Bohemia.
Right. Yeah. Very good. Yeah, we're at 906 Church Street in Bohemia. That's right in the middle between Vets Highway and Sunrise Highway. And it's on the corner of Walnut Avenue. Walnut Avenue is a little street between Locust and Smithtown Avenues, right next to the cemetery. We're not hard to find.
WLIE is a great place to try to recruit a Spanish speaker.
Yeah, it is, isn't it? Yeah. Again, the Lord's providence may come to the rescue here for us.
You know, this is so typical. I've known Pastor Mite for, we go back, 35 years, I guess. But this is so typical of Pastor Mite's ministry and just that little monologue that you had. There are so many lessons. When you think about getting out from beyond your church walls, and you don't have to be a pastor to be thinking about this, as you mentioned, congregation members either inadvertently or directly urged you in this way. Look at what God is doing in your midst. Here, God brought a boy with leukemia.
Right.
They needed a burial place. And that put you, just by looking to be a good neighbor, that put you in a place where you could really be a blessing to your community.
Right.
And that is what we are talking about. We're meant to love our neighbors as ourselves. We're meant to be conduits. I mean, God is good pouring, sending rain on the just and on the unjust. And in the same way, we become instruments of his blessing to others. The formal word we often use is organically. What is God doing in the life of the congregation? And how can you capitalize on that to reach out into your own community? The other thing I thought of, and then I'll stop. You know, you get a couple preachers together.
Right.
And then we'll quit. Just coming here today, I stopped to pick up a couple of things at a local market. And a lady asked for money in the market, and rightly or wrongly, if people ask me for money, I just don't give it to them because I don't, at least in a case like that, I don't know how they're going to use it. But I wish now that, and you could tell there were a fair number of poor people in that area that's maybe 5 miles from the church in Bohemia. I wish I'd had something to give her to say, here's a place where you can get some assistance, and that publicity work is so important. How do you avoid the trap of just, there's a book called When Helping Hurts. We've referred to it on the show. How do you avoid helping people in a way that hurts them?
We have not gone the route of doing very extensive background work, asking people to verify their incomes like a lot of food pantries do. I simply don't have the staff for that. To be honest, Bill, we have not totally been able to avoid that.
Yeah. Okay.
But my main way of avoiding is I pray to the Lord that he send us the people that we can minister to, and the Lord has honored that.
Yeah. But you do follow up wherever you can with people.
Oh, yes. Yeah. I mean, we provide them with literature. We make ourselves available to them, and it certainly has provided for a lot of pastoral ministry. I continue to be involved in the lives of some of the people that we've met this way. And some have come to our congregation. Some have worshiped with us. But there's ongoing, I have two special needs individuals that I have met this way, and I'm going through the Children's Bible, Catherine Voss's Children's Bible, with them to familiarize them with the content of Scripture and to discuss the lessons that are embedded in the various chapters in that book. But it's kind of more on their level. And they enjoy it. I came through the whole Children's Bible with one of them. And he just showed up last Wednesday night, and he goes, oh, you know, I started reading the Children's Bible again on my own, but can we do it again with you? You know, can we do it again together? And I said, by all means. So he goes, well, next Wednesday night I'm going to come. And we do it in between. As people come and go, when there's dead time, we sit down and we read from the Children's Bible. So it's been a real blessing.
Another tremendous lesson in all of this. We're in a culture that is increasingly biblically illiterate, even when people may be literate in other areas. And don't despise those most basic ways of introducing people to the Christian faith. As you mentioned, Catherine Voss's Children's Story Bible, which is excellent. But also even a basic children's catechism. And for those of you listening, some of you may not even know what a catechism is. It's a basic way of teaching people doctrine by way of questions and answers. And you can, all you need to do, you can just email me, visitpastorbill@gmail.com, visitpastorbill@gmail.com. And I'll be glad, as long as you send me your address, I'll be glad to send you a copy of the catechism. People listening, Pastor Mike, they say, hey, this sounds like something I could do. It's kind of, excuse the pun, it's kind of bite-sized to do up a food pantry.
Yep.
How do they get started?
Well, it's rather simple. We do not have an elaborate food pantry because we do not have the space for it. We have two sets of shelves that are about 4 feet wide and about 18 inches deep. And there are six shelves above each other. One of our deacons located that shelving set. It costs less than $100 on the internet.
I could tell this is a Dutchman answering this question.
Yeah. So that's where we put the food. We have flyers asking people simply to donate just a few items. I distribute them in the afternoon. I put 50 flyers a week out. It takes 45 minutes to do it. And the next morning, between 7 and 8, before I really start my day in the study, I run out and collect the food. And on average, between 20% to 25% of people respond. I have hit as high as 40% of
people. So you get the whole community involved in helping.
Yeah, it gets me around the whole community of Bohemia basically in a year's time.
Yeah.
And we're on our second time around now with that. But what I have found in my second year is that a lot of people in the community just stop and drop off food. Quite a few times I have had weeks that I didn't go out because so much food came in. I mean, several times, somebody with a pickup truck full of food came, and somebody, you know, with a trunk full of food comes. A lady that lives diagonally across from us works with another pantry, and sometimes they have more food than they know what to do with, and she'll bring it to us. And so, we have just picked up along the way a lot of contacts in the community where people have a heart to give, and they just stop by and drop off food. Right now, I would say for the past half a year or so, not a week has gone by that not at least one, but usually more like three or four people a week stop by on their own accord and drop off food.
Amazing. Of course, you're right next to the church. So you're going to be hearing in just a moment about Reformation Metro New York. And Reformation Metro New York is an organ, as it were, of the Presbytery of Connecticut and Southern New York, of the Orthodox Presbyterian churches. But one of the reasons why we do this and introduce our pastors and others to you is each of these pastors has a distinctive ministry in a distinctive area. All ministries have strengths and weaknesses. We're trying to bring you the strengths of some of the churches that are within our own presbytery as models and encouragements and helps to you. And just before the ad, people want to contact you, Pastor Mike. We're not done yet, but they want to contact you. How do they do that?
Well, I can be reached at 631-218-1583. That is my phone that rings both in my study as well as in the house, so I always answer it. People have called in the middle of the night thinking they would get an answering machine, and they're surprised to get me on the phone because I've got the phone next to my bed and I always answer it.
This man is a servant, and that's the wonderful thing about Pastor Mike. Okay, we're going to continue our discussion of getting beyond the church walls, but first of all, The Voice telling us a bit more about Reformation Metro New York.
That great city, New York, the largest city in the United States. The population of its metropolitan area now totals nearly 20 million people, one of the largest population centers in the world. And Greater New York is home to people from every nation of the world. To reach metropolitan New York is to reach the world. But churches faithful to historic Reformation Christianity in the New York area are few and far between. The mission fields of Greater New York are America's richest and most neglected ones. Reformation Metro New York is an agency by which the Presbytery of Connecticut and Southern New York of the Orthodox Presbyterian Church is furthering the ministry for which it was started in 1998. Now, through Reformation Metro New York, the Presbytery is extending its ministry nationally and internationally through A Visit to the Pastor's Study and other projects designed to further the ongoing biblical reformation of the church. That and church planting are the great passions of Reformation Metro New York. We ask you to remember, too, that Greater New York is one of the most expensive areas in the United States. We need the help of others in our labors. We need your prayers, but we also need your financial support. Your donations to Reformation Metro New York enable us to broadcast our Visits to the Pastor's Study and also to promote historic Reformation teaching and church planting in our area. Your gifts are fully tax deductible. We welcome your gifts to Reformation Metro New York, P.O. Box 234, Franklin Square, New York, 11010. That's Reformation Metro New York, P.O. Box 234, Franklin Square, New York, 11010. For more information, check out our website at www.reformationmetrony.org. Thanks for your interest and your help. Remember that great city, New York. To reach metropolitan New York is to reach the world.
Your host, Pastor Bill Shishko, here with you for our Visit to the Pastor's Study on this Saturday. Phone number 631-955-5400. This is your opportunity to visit the Pastor's Study by way of the telephone call, 631-955-5400. My guest pastor today, Pastor Mike Plugman of the Orthodox Presbyterian Church in Bohemia, not far from the studios of WLIE. Greg Forster, in his book Joy for the World, How Christianity Lost Its Cultural Influence and Can Begin Rebuilding It, writes, quote, "The church should be equipping Christians to practice discipleship in all of life rather than 20% of life." And by that he means the time we spend in specifically church duties. And then he adds this excellent statement, "Discipleship is a new way of doing 100% of what we do in a different way." Pastor Mike, what does that look like in practice, and how would that help us get beyond the church walls?
Well, Bill, a lot could be said about that. As you know, I ran my own business for 19 years. Sometimes I had people working with me. A lot of times I worked alone. But the scriptures teach us that if we want to be anybody at all in God's kingdom, we got to be a servant. That runs very contrary to popular thinking and what we experience in culture today. But always have the good of the people you work for, whether you have your own business and serve customers or whether you're an employee and work for an employer, always have the good of the one you work for upon your heart. And be thoughtful, be mindful. I remember I had some young people work with me at times, and they would come to work, and more than once have I told more than one of them, when you come to work, don't bring me just your body. Bring me your mind also. Think with me about this work, how it can be done best, how we can serve these people that we're working for in the best possible way.
Now, so you're actually training these young people on how to work.
Yeah.
Now, did
yeah.
you just employ Christians, or did you employ non-Christians too?
I had some non-Christians work with me at times.
So that became, yeah. am I right? That became yeah. a means yeah, yeah. of discipleship. Yeah, yeah. You know, sometimes, yeah. you know, some Christians under saying, well, don't be unequally yoked with unbelievers wouldn't do that. But in yeah. fact, it's a tremendous way to promote discipleship.
Well, it was, again, you know, reaching out to folks in need. Those were usually the ones that I took on. I always found that business-wise, I did best when I worked alone. But there were people that were out of work, and they had families, they had little ones to support. And yeah, what do you say when they ask, you know, can I come to work with you? I had to work, so I took them on. And, you know, for the most part, it worked out okay. But...
I mean, we had our Savior who did good to 10, healing them. He only got thanks from one.
So right.
Rather than
right.
look at the attrition rate there.
Yeah, yeah.
You talked about doing good to be. Flesh that out a bit more.
Well, you carry yourself with a servant spirit, first of all. You're there to serve them and to do the best you can for them. Another thing that I always set out to do is I looked for things that weren't really part of what my calling was, but I'm pretty versatile in things that I can do. So if I came across things that, you know, needed repair or needed doing, and it wasn't exactly my calling, if I could squeeze it in time-wise, I would, and I wouldn't charge them extra for it.
Now, did you let people know that you're a Christian? I mean, you didn't come to them and say, "Hi, I'm a Christian and I like your business." But did you? Were there ways you let them know this is a testimony of Christ to people?
Yeah, you try to strike a balance. You don't want to toot your own horn, and you don't want people just to speak well of you. But you know, you engage people in conversation, and you know, I would speak about the church I am a part of and of my Christian faith, certainly as I had opportunity. I remember one dear lady whose house I painted in the month of January, and we hit a beautiful week. It was so nice out, and she had a very sheltered patio, and we had lunch there together. She was very social and outgoing and talkative. She was a retired school teacher. And we just had our lunch together on that patio and talked for a half hour as we ate our lunch together and talked about all kinds of things. And those are perfectly natural opportunities to at least let people know that you come from a Christian reference point.
Sure, sure. And, yeah, it's doing yeah. doing the supernatural naturally.
Yeah, right.
Okay.
Right.
We had a Christian businessman who was very formative in my own training in my seminary, in my intern program in seminary, Christian businessman, very much like you, Dutch, like you. And he had two basic principles with his employees. Number one is he treated them like part of his family and paid them all yeah. so that they could provide for their families. But the second was, and as a Dutchman, you'll appreciate this, they had to work. They worked hard, yeah. and they better be honest in what they did. Real quickly, then you're, let's say you're talking to some businessmen out here. They say, "Wow, I want to bring that witness that I learned about in church out of the church walls." What are you going to tell them?
Well, certainly let people know that you come from a Christian point you know, of reference, and that the truths of God's word, you know, form your thinking and form the core of your business dealings. Honesty, being industrious, putting your best foot forward, doing the best you can, being punctual, you know, all of those kinds of qualities, which so often are so mediocre today.
Yeah. Yeah, our God does things with excellence, and we do the same.
Yeah, exactly.
And
exactly.
There's where, as I mentioned in the monologue, the Apostle John's statement, don't love, and it's loving to people to provide a good day's work for them, is don't just love in word and talk. He says don't love in word and talk. Obviously, you do talk, but in deed and in truth, and that's what you please. When you do this, if you're going to mention you're a Christian, you better not just talk the talk, but walk the walk. The telephone number is 631-955-5400. We're talking about getting beyond the church walls. That doesn't just mean the physical walls, but it means the walls we can put up in our own attitudes and emotions. And we're going to begin getting to the phone lines in just a moment. Please call 631-955-5400. But let me just take a few minutes to tell you about Visit to the Pastor's Study, what the program is, and Reformation Metro New York. Visit to the Pastor's Study is not an individual ministry by me or by Pastor Plugman. It's a ministry of a group of churches that are called a presbytery of Connecticut and Southern New York of the Orthodox Presbyterian Church. We have churches in Hamden, Connecticut, in Mount Vernon, New York, in Fresh Meadows, Queens, here on Long Island in Franklin Square, in Syosset, and of course, as you've learned, one in Bohemia. And you can get more information on our presbytery website. That's www.opcpresbytery. That would be OPC Presbytery of Connecticut and Southern New York .org. www.opcpresbytery.org. And that's our presbytery, regional group of churches. If you're in the listening area of WLIE, please check us out. There'll be faithful churches here that you can be a part of. Now, if you want more information on the larger body of which we're a part, the Orthodox Presbyterian Church, it has an amazing website. That's an easy one, www.opc.org, like Orthodox Presbyterian Church, www.opc.org. And you're not going to find a church website with more resources for your personal Christian life and to help you as you wrestle with doctrinal and practical questions from the Bible. This site, www.opc.org, is literally recognized and used worldwide because it is faithful to the Word of God. We are bound in our commitments to one another to that faithfulness to our primary standard. So that's www.opc.org, the official website of the Orthodox Presbyterian Church. Now, the broadcast, what you're hearing now, comes to you from Reformation Metro New York Incorporated. This is a not-for-profit corporation. Your donations to Reformation Metro New York Incorporated are fully tax-deductible. And we produce, at this point, a Visit to the Pastor's Study. We have on the drawing boards Reformation Seminary of the Air, which will bring historic Reformation theology, we call it Reformed theology, to you by way of short interactive lessons from Reformed Confessions of Faith, and then helps for pastors. These are, again, on the drawing boards. These are projects for the upcoming year. These are short video clips, helps for pastors, to help pastors in their personal lives, their work of church government, and their work of shepherding. You can tell we're really about the church. The Lord is building His church, and we want to be part of that and help you with it. So we would love to have you as part of this unique church-focused project. When we were becoming incorporated last year, the people that assisted us in this were stunned that this was not so much a personal ministry as a church ministry, and that's what it is. So if you want more information, Reformation Metro New York Incorporated, or you can just put RMNY Inc., and it'll get to us, P.O. Box 234, easy one to remember, Franklin Square, New York, 11010. That's P.O. Box 234, Franklin Square, New York, 11010. And if you'd like to contact me personally, this is pastoral ministry to you, and pastors are to be accessible to people. You can email me, you can call me. My email's very easy. Visit Pastor Bill. I won't burden you with the shishko in it, but visit Pastor Bill, all one word, at gmail.com. Visit Pastor Bill at gmail.com. Or you can call me at my study, 516-593-1507. You'll get my electronic secretary All pastors have to have a secretary to shield them a bit. So I have an electronic secretary, but I guarantee you, call 516-593-1507. Let me know when it's convenient for me to call you back, and I'd glad to do that. Right now, you can reach A Visit to the Pastor's Study by calling 631-955-5400. Our topic for today, it's a suggestive one, getting beyond the church walls. Our guest pastor today, Pastor Mynt Plugman of the Orthodox Presbyterian Church in Bohemia. And our first call, Matt, who is from Bohemia, appropriately. Matt, good to have you with us, visiting the Pastor's Study.
Thank you for taking my call, gentlemen.
You're welcome. What's on your mind?
I am actually the aforementioned deacon with limited Spanish, who's sometimes involved at the food pantry. While listening to you, gentlemen, I had a couple of thoughts and ideas. First, I want to reiterate what a blessing it would be if we did have someone who could communicate the gospel message in Spanish. We have so many from the Latin community that come into our food pantry, and we can help them, you know, their physical needs. But when it comes to the truth of the gospel, you know, it would really take an Acts 2 style miracle for us to reach out to those people in that regard.
Yeah, either or else you just have somebody who's learned Spanish that could help you out.
Exactly, right, sure. Exactly. What I was thinking about, I was listening a couple weeks ago, I believe you had Pastor Drew from West Salem on.
Yes.
And you gentlemen were talking about getting people in the congregation more active in taking care of the needs of the church. You're talking about, I remember you making the comment, Jesus didn't use sign-up sheets. It was either you or him. I can't remember which.
That's one of my standard remarks, Matt. Jesus didn't use sign-up sheets. You recruit people. He called on people to help out. We do the same.
Right. And what I was thinking is, sometimes people are bashful to put themselves out there to get involved in the needs of the church, and they sit in the pew and they worship, but they really need to be invited to take an active role in the congregation, and it can be such a blessing in the congregate's life, let alone the need that the church, you know, the need that they're filling. It's a blessing to them. And with this food pantry type ministry, the things that have to be done are simple enough that almost anyone in your congregation can take part in this type of a ministry. So I would just encourage people, maybe ministers who are on the fence about starting some kind of outreach like this, it's not only very useful for getting beyond the walls of your church, but it can be very beneficial for, you know, your individual congregants finding their own niche and how they can serve. People put the fires out, people can be part of collecting the food, distributing and ministering to people that come when your pantry is open. We have one young lady in our church, I've seen her going through the inventory and finding our food that's gone out of date so it can be discarded. But there's a lot of tasks that really almost anyone can do. So I feel like the pantry is a blessing in that regard. Also, many congregants bring the food. It's just a way for the people of your congregation to minister to their community.
Matt, you mentioned before people being bashful. Are there particular ways that, you know, you're a deacon in the church that you serve. Are there particular ways you help people get over their bashfulness?
You know, I'm kind of a bashful person myself. If you don't hear my voice, my heart is probably up to about 100 beats per minute right now. When I was a younger fella, I was involved in a church plant, and the young pastor there, Pastor McMillan over at what's now Centerpoint, he would come to me and say, hey, I want you to take on this. And just hearing someone have confidence in me that I could pull this off, you know, that I could contribute, that really brought me personally out of my shell, you know. And I think when you invite someone personally, as opposed to just saying, hey, if anyone wants to do this, come and see me. But you invite someone personally, that act in itself, you're showing that person that you have confidence in them and that you value them as a part of their congregation. You don't just see them as someone that you're feeding as a pastor or as a leader, but their person has the potential to contribute to your ministry. And I'm thinking of people that I don't want to kind of announce names or put on the spot, but I have individuals in mind who have, you know, they're very bashful in or quiet, keep themselves a lot, but have taken on roles and jobs in the church where they have a big impact.
Yeah.
And, you know, I think just having a specific thing in mind and explaining to that person why you think they would be the right person for that particular job.
Yeah, exactly.
Can go a long way.
Yeah, you have the language in Ephesians 4, each part doing its work, the language in 1 Corinthians 12 of the body parts. And I think, Matt, your next point, and then I'll let Pastor Mike respond here. Important thing with a pastor, don't just ask people to do things. Tell them what needs to be done, how they can do it, where they can get assistance if they need to. You make it easy for people to do it, and then when they succeed, and if you're wisely leading and God's blessing, they will, that'll encourage them to do more. But Pastor Mike, I've been hogging the conversation here.
Yes, well, I mean, Matt's brought up a lot of good points. I think we are blessed in Bohemia in that so many people in the congregation have taken an active interest in the food pantry by way of bringing the food, preparing flyers. I have someone in the congregation doing that. Matt mentioned a young lady who periodically comes and goes through our entire inventory, throwing things out that have gone out of date. If they stay on the shelves a while, that does happen. And, you know, things like that do need to be done, and it provides opportunity for the congregation to do so. I would encourage any of our listeners who are part of churches who don't have a food pantry that this thing is not overbearing in terms of its demands. If you have a couple of people that are willing to commit one evening a week to it, if you have someone that can take 45 minutes once a week to distribute the flyers and the following morning a half hour to pick up the food, that's really all it takes, and it provides a lot of opportunity, pastorally speaking, of ministry in people's lives, opportunity to distribute literature. And you know, something else that I have noticed as I meet people in the community, again, the community of Bohemia very much appreciates us doing this. It's given the church a good image and a good name.
Yeah, of course, yeah. Bohemia is a very easily defined community for some of us in suburbia.
Right.
You've got to define exactly where you are and work there. Yeah,
that's true.
Yeah, Matt, appreciate the phone call very much. Thank you. We've got a little bit more time for calls. We've had people call late and not have enough time. So 631-955-5400. Just real quickly, we talked about walls, personal walls, not just the physical walls of the church building. We talked about fears that you'll have. What's helpful for me, greater is he who is in you than he who is in the world. That would revolutionize our whole view about dealing with the world. When we're afraid of it, we think wrongly that the world is more powerful than Christ, and it isn't. Greater is he who is in you than he who is in the world. Perfect love casts out fear. Pastor Plugman had mentioned before the love that you have for the people that you serve. You'll find your love for others that gives itself for the good of others will help cast the fears away. And as Pastor Mike mentioned, we're going to make mistakes. But, you know, there's some people, you know, who they impale their usefulness by perfection. They think if you're not doing it perfectly, don't do it at all. You're going to blow it. You're going to make mistakes.
Absolutely. You know, you mentioned how do you avoid, when helping hurts kind of thing. We have not. We don't have a perfect track record on that. We're not going to have it. I see that already. You try, and my main defense is prayer in that regard. I pray for the people that the Lord sends our way, and some pretty amazing stories there. I don't know how much time we have for that, but,
people can call you and hear more of these things. Give them your phone number again, Pastor Mike.
Yeah, 631-218-1583. Is the phone number. But, just wonderful people that I meet along the way, both on the giving end, people who donate, and as well as, you know, people who come, you know, people who are really in need and are so appreciative. And so open, you know, to the Lord.
Yeah. Of course, the thing that you love people. See, that's the thing. And as I've said before, I wish that I'd learned lesson number one in seminary, just love people as people.
Right.
And we do want them to hear the gospel. We want them to hear about the Lord Jesus. We want them to be saved. Mm-hmm. We don't want to fill stomachs and have those stomachs go to hell.
Yeah.
But so we seek to bring the gospel. But that begins by just plain loving people. Will, we're going to help you a bit with breaking down your personal walls after we hear this message from Reformation Metro New York.
It's not enough to listen to pastors on the radio or to watch them on television. Everyone needs a biblically faithful pastor, and everyone needs a biblically faithful church. A Visit to the Pastor's Study is a ministry of the Orthodox Presbyterian Churches in the metropolitan New York area. We have churches in Hamden, in southern Connecticut, in Mount Vernon, New York, in Fresh Meadows, Queens, and on Long Island, in Franklin Square, Syosset, and Bohemia. In each of these churches, you can expect biblically faithful worship, biblically faithful ministries, and biblically faithful church life. And that biblical faithfulness will always point you to Jesus Christ and the gospel, what the Bible is all about. For more information on these congregations and the Orthodox Presbyterian Church, check out www.opc.org. That's www.opc.org. Here you'll find addresses of Orthodox Presbyterian churches near you. And here you'll also find a treasure of material to help you in your Christian life and to further your knowledge of the Bible as the Word of God. And we also invite you to contact the host of this program, Pastor Bill Shishko. You can email him at wshishko@gmail.com. He'd love to hear from you so that he can bring his pastoral ministry to you personally. That's wshishko@gmail.com.
We're here on A Visit to the Pastor's Study, 631-955-5400. Breaking down your personal walls, overcommitment to other things, that's something we've always got to work on. Remember, there are lawful things that we can overdo on and just spend too much time with them. That's the traditional workaholic, so to speak. And, of course, unlawful things, you can fill in the blank, those things we need to just root out. That will give us more time for ministering in our own neighborhoods. And as far as selfishness, Pastor Mint, my guest today, mentioned this. Remember Christ. He was the one that took a towel, wrapped it around his waist, took a basin, washed the feet of his disciples. And keep in mind that you've got to begin with the new birth, with what we call regeneration. All good works must come from that. We don't want any of you to misunderstand. We're not saying that good works get us into heaven, but when God changes our hearts, we become, as Pastor Mike mentioned, people who are foreordained for good works, which God has ordained we walk in them. Pastor Mike, as a pastor, let's use the phrase the Great Commission of everyday life. How do you promote that?
Bill, a scripture that I am brought back to so many times with regards to that, and that I have pondered many a time and will not cease to ponder, it seems to me, because the Lord keeps bringing me back to it, isn't Jeremiah 29, verse 7, where the Lord's people were carried away in chains as captives to a faraway land, to Babylon. And there they were, and through the prophet Jeremiah, the Lord sends them word saying, seek the peace of the city where I have caused you to be carried away captive, and pray to the Lord for it, for in its peace you will have peace. That's such an amazing thing to me, that this land and these people who had put God's people in chains and carried them away captive, and God tells his people, no, you pray for them, and you seek their well-being, for in their peace is contained your peace. And, well, we've got to have more of that spirit. We've got to have an openness. We've got to have a heart and a mind for the needs that are all around us.
Yeah, on peace. Even the very concept of peace is not just absence of war, but it's the presence of God's blessing.
And in a biblical context, it includes, like you said, the presence of God's blessing, but the total well-being of people we ought to have upon our heart. And when you have that upon your heart, then Ephesians 2:10 goes into effect, I think. We're his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus to good works, which God has prepared beforehand that you should walk in them. And then situations will come up. You will meet people, and you say, here it is. Here is something that I can do.
Yeah. Yeah, I want you to tell us a little bit more about Bohemia. Just a few things as far as the Great Commission of everyday life, in addition to what Pastor Mite said. Right in your neighborhoods, just talk with your neighbors. You know, Long Islanders often don't even know the names of their neighbors. Welcome people who move into the neighborhood. Have block parties if you're able to. Not in winter months, obviously, but in the summer months. And just have people over for meals. You schedule out, invite them in. You pray before your meals, have family worship. That's an important means of fulfilling the Great Commission in everyday life. In your workplace, inviting people out for lunch. Don't use your employer's time for witnessing. Invite somebody out to lunch. Just sending cards and notes to your fellow employees that have lost loved ones or going through trial. What a great means of ministry that is. And then right in your local communities, as we've been speaking about, encouraging business people to hire and train the unemployed or the poor, just treating employees as human beings, as your own family members, helping with public schools, which is something we'll explore in the months ahead, crisis pregnancy centers as well. So as Pastor Mike said, look to be an instrument of God's shalom, his peace, to those around us. Pastor Mike, tell us a little bit more about the OPC in Bohemia.
Yes, our worship is at 11 o'clock on Sunday mornings. We have a Bible school program, a Bible study at 10 a.m. before worship. And then we have a fellowship hour following morning worship, usually ample food there. And then we conclude the day with an afternoon study that follows our fellowship hour. We do not have an evening service. Our congregation is spread far and wide, and it's not easy to bring them together again on a Sunday evening. So we begin at 10 a.m., and we go till about 2 p.m. The first Sunday of the month, we take the afternoon meeting to our local nursing home. So we do not have it at the church, but we share it with the residents at the Arbors at Bohemia.
And one more time, give your phone number, Pastor Mike.
Yes, it is 631-218-1583, and that is 631-218-1583.
Thank you, Pastor Mike. We have just scratched the surface of this hugely important topic of getting beyond the church walls, and there's going to be lots more of this in the months ahead, but for now, remember, tomorrow is the Lord's Day. Every Sunday is a celebration of the greatest event in human history, the Lord Jesus' resurrection from the dead. Drive your service outside the church walls by worshiping and serving in a local congregation that's faithful to the Word of God. If you're not sure what that means, you're not sure what that looks like, I invite you to email me. Visit Pastor Bill. Visit Pastor Bill at gmail.com or call me at my non-radio studio study, 516-593-1507. That's 516-593-1507. I'd love to speak with you. We're going to pray in just a moment. But remember, everyone needs a pastor. Father in heaven, work in all of us, we pray, that will give us love that is giving ourselves for the good of others, beginning in our families, in our neighborhoods, and our co-workers, and so on. And let us be instruments of your shalom to all that we know, to all that we meet, and bless these to people's eternal good for Jesus' sake. Amen.
You've been listening to A Visit to the Pastor's Study, a ministry of Reformation Metro New York. Our website is www.reformationmetrony.org. Again, that's www.reformationmetrony.org. For more information on the program, check out our website at www.visitthepastorsstudy.org. That's www.visitthepastorsstudy.org. Listen in next week at 12 noon for another edition of A Visit to the Pastor's Study. Remember, everyone needs a pastor.